God, as we bring our speaker forth tonight, Elder Charlene Wardell, from Liberty Temple, under the leadership of Apostle Clifford Turner. Amen. Praise God. A mighty woman. And those of you who heard her pray, know she can pray the heavens down. But she can bring a powerful word as well. I want you to welcome her to the pulpit and point your hand and say, Lord,
have your way.
Send us a rainbow word. Thank you, Father.
Great you are. There's none else like you in heaven and earth. God, we thank you tonight that you are moving by your Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is here present, Lord God. Thank you for the resident anointing in this house, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the bishop and overseer of this house. And First Lady, Lord God, thank you for all that have graced this place, oh God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that I decrease, that you might increase, Lord God. Father, none of I but all of you, my life is hidden in Christ and God tonight. And Father, we just thank you that your word, Father, will have free course. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to honor God, first of all. Amen. And for he it is he that has put me in the ministry. Amen. Oh, we realize that it's none of us are here by the will of man, but by the will of God. The bishop of this house. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. With First Lady, First Lady-elect Lady Joyce Moore, Pastor Seeley. Amen. Bless you. Got to hear you and Pastor Christian. Amen. And all of the men, my own Elder Mark Garza from Liberty Temple. Amen. Our senior elder there. Amen. And Apostle Turner, our Liberty family, all of you that are here, I want to honor. Amen. But tonight, and most of you that minister, you know, you go through this wrestling. Amen. You're not comfortable. You're not satisfied.
Amen.
And so you just keep searching and you keep looking and you're saying, okay, God, where do you want us to go? Amen. And I know this is Sunday night and, you know, a lot of times you want to, you know, kick back and take your shoes off and, you know, do all those things. Get home, get out your clothes,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, just like, okay, I want to do this.
That's right.
But I really sense that, and it's such an urgency in my spirit, and that the hour is late, the time of day, but the hour period is late.
Yes.
And I find this, and I was saying, okay, God, you gave me this message, so I come to see all, the, you know, that's here. But then I realized, you know what, the longer we are in God,
yes.
The longer we are
yes.
saved,
yes.
Amen. The challenge doesn't come to the new believer; it comes to the people who have
yes.
believed for a long time.
Yes.
Amen. The challenge comes when you know we have stayed in this a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm gonna write a book: How to Go to Church and Still Be Saved. It is a challenge to go to church and still be saved. Amen. And I don't know if y'all think I'm being funny, but I believe it's becoming a truism.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
The longer we've been in God, the longer we've been saved, the challenge gets even the greater.
Right.
Amen. Because you labor, you love, you reach out, you stretch out, you lay out, you give out. And then at the end of the day, like Paul said, after you've done all that, you don't want to be a castaway. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And so I can certainly, I get to hear the word of God because we do have people who preach the word of God, and when you have to deliver and teach and preach, you do want to have a moment where you don't have to do that.
Yes.
So thank God for that. But I just, tonight, I kept trying to get away from it, but it's marred in the potter's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I, let's turn to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1. I believe we're going to go to verse 10. Amen. But I'm reading out of the New King James. And that's what we're saying today. It's so challenging to our mind, to our comprehension. And I don't know about you. I haven't seen it like it is now before. And after being in ministry over 20-some years, I mean, the more you look at the world and you look at the kingdom, you kind of wondering, okay, where are we?
That's right.
You know, where are we? Are we in the kingdom? Are we in the world?
That's right.
You know, are we somewhere in between? What is going on? Amen. And so there's a lack of comprehension, even in the kingdom of God. And we have an almighty God who sees and who knows. And I'm a living testimony that he sees, he knows, he hears, he understands. Amen. He's a deliverer. He is yet a deliverer.
Yes, he
is. Amen. He is still a deliverer. Amen. And for some of you that don't know me, I am from Liberty Temple Full Gospel Church and World Outreach Ministries. We've been in San Diego 14 years. We're parent churches in Chicago, where the founder is Apostle Clifford E. Turner. I was sent here to help assist in raising up and training up ministry, and God has done what he said he would do. God is an awesome man and women he's raised up. But there's a challenge. I was diagnosed in 2006 with stage 4 colon cancer, and I've shared this testimony sometimes with some people. But it went to my liver. And I thank God for praying people.
Yes.
I thank God for people who can see past and see that there's a victory. So I've been cancer-free. Year after that, God said he healed me from liver cancer. That went without chemo. It went without four surgeries. Mm-hmm. But God, it was his power.
Yes, yes.
I'm standing here today.
Wonderful.
And I want to share that because, you know, we can discount miracles. You know, we think somebody throw down a cane and hop off somewhere. That's a miracle.
Okay, come on, that's it.
But see, God is doing some miracles in people's minds. Yeah. But I believe that this season, that's when people gonna get healed and delivered from mental illness.
Yeah.
That's the illness of the day. Yeah. Cancer has been whooped. Cancer has been beaten.
Yes.
And then death can't cheat us because Jesus died for our sin. It can't cheat us. Because he said death has been swallowed up in victory.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you, I told God on this side, I got my peace. If you take me now, I'm okay. If I'm here, then it's for the good of somebody else. So I realized that every time I'm going through, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. And so I have to endure. And this is the season when you've been saved for a while.
Yes.
This is the time when you can lose it easily. You can lose it quickly. But you know, God is still shaping us and he's molding us. No matter how long we've been in this thing, we're not done yet. He's not done yet. You're not over and done yet. Your trials are not over. I'm sorry to tell you that, but your trials are not over. Because there's a generation that's here that needs to see some long-standing saints, some enduring saints, some people who know how to persevere in the face of adversity, in the face of loss. And in the midst of going through that, I lost four siblings to cancer. Back to back, 4 years in a row. Just dial it back. 12, 11, 10, 9, four siblings. But you know what? Through it all.
Through it all.
Through it all. Amen. But God is good. So I'm back to get to this message because I got to... I'm working myself through here.
Amen.
But I was praying. I said, God, now, where do you want to go with this? Everybody, you know, we get in there. We've been in church long enough. Okay, I know that scripture. I know about the potter. I know he went to the potter's house. And, you know, we get jaded. We get so jaded that sometimes we can miss blessings and miracles because, you know, we didn't heard it all. We know it all. And there's nothing that God can ever open up again. But I tell you, that's when he has to take us back to the potter's house. That's when he lets us be marred. That's when he lets us, you know, go back and, you know, and get shaped back on that wheel. That's when he takes you back. It's not just for the baby Christian. See, if you look at what he's saying, let's go to the scripture. I think that it'll speak for itself. Okay, so Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. It said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'm telling you, go to the potter's house. Now, Jeremiah's been hearing God's words all along.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking to him to tell him to go down to the potter's house.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with that picture? He said, but he's speaking to him, saying, go to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my word.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard him to go to the potter's house.
That's right.
So what's wrong with that picture? Now, I'm telling you to go to the potter's house. You hear me, but when you get there, I'm going to cause you to hear my word. Can I say we've been hearing, but we haven't been seeing what we're hearing? And see, when we've been saved so long,
that's right.
We read the word. And even when you read it, you jump ahead in your mind that the next scripture is this.
Yes, yes.
But God sometimes got to take you out of the place you in and put you in another place.
Yes.
So he can cause you
yes.
to hear his word.
Yes.
And hear it at another level.
Yes.
And sometimes when you done read the word so much, you know, you got to, you know, how you, your body won't take it no more. You got to get intervention. So you got to put the word on CD and start listening to it and just let it kind of go in you. Because,
yes.
see, you can't focus anymore on it. Now you got to let it go in, intervene. So you got to, you know, get that word to come in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so here God said, I'm going to cause you to hear my words. And then he went down to the potter's house. And there he was making something. Amen. At the wheel. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. And so here what he said, and so he made it again into another vessel. And it seemed good as it seemed good to the potter to make. Amen? And then the word, so I'm right here, he said, and he was making something. And see, God is making something.
Come on.
Guess what? When he made Adam, he was making something.
Yes.
Amen. And when he made him, he had no mars. He was perfect. He was very good. Mm-hmm. He was everything that God intended to make. Mm-hmm. And so I call myself, I said, okay, I want to understand this pottery stuff. So, you know, how you know we're going to go on YouTube. I want to see how they make it pottery. And then what would make the pottery mar in the hands of somebody that's making it? And the interesting thing is that the man was showing them showing beginners how to make pottery. And I was studying and was saying how pottery, when clay, when it's stiff, now we're not gonna talk about being stiff, man. We're not gonna talk about none of that.
Okay.
And it said another reason it'll get marred is if it's a stone in there. We're not gonna talk about stony hearts.
Okay.
Because you know, over time, you know, your heart can get stony. I know Ella was preaching this morning, you know, you just have to keep everything out your heart.
Yes.
You know, when you serve God, when you get down this journey so long, like Moses, you can't go beating the rock
yes.
instead of speaking to the rock.
Yes.
You know, but he said there's two things. It's either stiff or if it has a stone in it, it would cause that clay to shift. But when the guy was molding this piece of clay, and he was teaching the young people about how to mold it, and he was saying, you know what, if it's stiff, he said, you got to apply more pressure. And so sometimes when we older and we get set in our ways, set in our mind, and set in our heart, and I'm talking about in the kingdom, I'm not talking about in life.
That's, right.
that's a double thing when you get older, set in your ways, and in the kingdom, and set in your ways.
Yes.
And a lot of people get old quick in God.
That's right.
They get tired quick in God.
That's right.
They have heard enough in God. And so God's trying to mold and shape, but it's stiff. We get stiff on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God got to push us a little bit. So you got to apply more pressure to get that thing to mold. You know, we're not done yet, but, you know, we're ready to jump off the wheel. You know, no matter the living sacrifice on the altar, but we really want to get off this Father's wheel.
Because,
see, God said to whom much is given, much is required. And so more pressure is applied because you think you're done yet, but you're not done yet. Pastor Seeley, you're not done yet. You can't get tired yet. You can't give up yet, Pastor Seeley. You can't let the all the stuff that's been pressing you this way and that way stop you, Pastor Seeley.
Because
he is still molding and making.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because the trials of life will make you stiffen up. Amen. When your arm hurts, you get stiff. When your back hurts, you get stiff. When your mind hurts, you get stiff. Come on, am I talking to somebody? So the potter, so God can't shift you. You know, you can't get up because you got a headache. You can't go minister to that person sick because he can't move you anymore.
All right.
You can't do the things that God wants you to do. You can't. He said, can I? So let's go a little bit further. So that when that stony heart gets in there, the trials of life will beat you down.
Mm-hmm.
But I made up in my mind, I'm not going to die of fool's death.
All right, say that.
Amen. I'm not going to die of fool's death. See, a person that without understanding will die of fool's death.
That's
yes.
right.
Amen. Why die before your time?
Yeah.
And see, sometimes, you know, you got to find out how did the stones get in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise the Lord, because God is,
you know, a lot of things are happening, a lot of things, and you know, you got to forgive quickly, you got to move quickly. And God say, do this, you got to shift quickly, because he's molding you, he's shaping you. But when he finds a stone, it causes the clay to break open, it causes the clay to get marred. And so what he was making, he can't really make that now. He's got to make another vessel. He's got to make you another vessel. He's got to shape you around what you're dealing with if he can't do what he needs to do. Amen? So he said he had to make it another vessel. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Okay, now he's seen. And I could see Abraham. He said, you know what? I've been telling you, you're going to have a son. I've been telling you this. You got all these people coming. And, you know, Abraham is looking at his nephew Lot. And Lot is prospering. He's got all this cattle, all this herds, all these things. He's just looking at him. He's got a wife and he's got children. And Abraham, he was supposed to leave him behind. Now he got to fight with somebody look like they prospered. That man, Lot only had girls. He didn't have a son. But God kept telling him, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a generation of posterity. Yeah. You have something coming. He said, you know, I got to take you so you can look and you can see that it's going to be different than you think. So go out here and look at the stars out of heaven. I want you to see what I'm saying.
Yes.
And see, sometimes God has got to take us to a place where we can see what he's saying.
Yes.
You know, Billy Wine's got a little joke, you know, about little boy that didn't have no ears. And, you know, and then the mama told the little boy, don't you say nothing. So she left out the room and the little boy came up to the mother and said, can he see? Can he see? She kept saying, why are you asking, can he see? Because he said, well, how are you going to wear glasses if he don't have no ears? So, you know, sometimes you got to have some glasses for your ears. God got to magnify that thing that he's trying to say. And sometimes he has to take you out of the environment. Because if you look at the environment that Jeremiah was in, and, you know, have people constantly, and men and women of God, because I see a lot of men and women of God here. I see most people that are sitting here, men and women of God. People come to you and they inquire. And they always ask you, what is God saying?
Yeah.
Everybody want to know what God is saying, but don't nobody want to go see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to go seek him at another level to see what he's saying.
Right.
And so they come and sit before you, but God said, you know what? They don't really want to know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to really hear what you're saying. Amen. Because see, what he was telling Jeremiah, I don't see nobody doing that today. He told Jeremiah, don't you marry a wife. Don't you have no kids.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, y'all got to have me a husband.
Okay.
I got to have me a wife.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody want to hear what Jeremiah talking about, because Jeremiah ain't talking about nothing.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He don't want to hear nothing about no Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, y'all inquire me as though you're doing righteous.
Uh-huh.
Y'all asking like y'all doing something really good for me. And then you want to know why I got a problem, God said. Amen. So he's telling Jeremiah, he said, now come here, let me tell you what I'm dealing with. So the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the church. Can I not do with you? He said, this is a potter.
Mm-hmm.
And he can take a clay.
That's right.
Clay, and he can make out of it whatever he wants to. And if he don't like how it was made, he can take it and make it another thing.
Yes.
He said, now here I am, the maker. Here I am, the creator. Here I am, the one that formed you. Before you were in the womb, I knew you and I formed you in the belly. But can I not do with you? Amen. Okay, he said, can I not do here? This is what he's saying. With you as this potter, says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And that's what people are forgetting, that we're in God's hand. Our timings are in his hand. Amen. I love the song. He said, my time is in your hand.
He said,
you have known my soul in adversity.
That's right.
Yes.
And said, this is the thing we've been dealing with, so much adversity.
Mm-hmm.
So much adversity. But he said, can I not do
with
you like this part of you?
Yes.
Don't I have a say-so in your life?
Yes.
Didn't I make you? Didn't I form you? Don't I have a say-so?
Mm-hmm.
Can't I make you what I want you to be?
Right.
Not looking on the, you know, we're talking about the potter, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with T.D. Jakes and the potter's house.
Okay.
But everything you hear, you ain't going to be able to hear in the potter's house there, because all of us ain't going to fit in there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. That ain't the only Potter's house.
That's right.
Amen. That ain't the only place God could make you. We got a lot of people looking elsewhere, but God got a place He wants to take everybody so they can hear God for themselves. Amen. And nothing against the man of God, but that's not the only Potter's house.
Because
God wants to reveal something to you. When He can get you to go where He needs you to go, where He needs you to go, Bishop, where He needs us to go. Amen. I'm on my way there this weekend. Amen. I have purpose in my heart that God, I belong to you.
That's
I don't belong to myself.
Yes.
My life is not my own.
Yes.
And I'm not going to sing a song. To Him I belong.
Right.
Amen. I give myself. I have given myself away. Amen. And He said, now, O house of Israel, the instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, and if that nation against whom I've spoken turns from evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is saying, I have such an ability, and this was Jeremiah's call, to go in, root out, pluck up, tear down, destroy. And so when God is speaking, He's speaking to a nation, He's speaking to a kingdom, but He's speaking to individuals.
Yes.
Amen. And so when God is saying, I want to make you, it's for the nation, it's for the kingdom, it's for a people.
Yes.
And so God is trying to shift us, mold us. And a lot of times we max out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But He can't make us another vessel.
Yes.
Because now we got stiff. We got stony hearts. We can't forgive no more. I'm done. I don't know how many times you're going to throw your hands. I'm done.
Yeah.
Y'all, it's it. This is it. Michael Jackson said, this is it, and it was it.
Yeah.
Now, we don't want to have that confession, this is it.
That's right.
Not like that. Amen. When you say this is it, you really want to know. You ain't talking about dying the next day. But dying the next month. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He's the only one that can call it. He's the only one that can pull the plug on this.
Right.
And until then, you are clay in His hand.
Yes.
We started out clay. Guess what? We still clay.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes. Amen. You know, Gumpy is my claim to fame. That little slanted head piece of clay. That's me right now. Amen. He can slap me so much outside my head, I look like Gumpy. I look like Gumpy with the slant. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here's it. Jeremiah was given instructions. He said, go down to the Potter's house. He didn't say, go preach. He didn't say, go prophesy. But he went to receive.
Yeah.
Amen. So when we get to the point where we always want to do what we do the best and the most, and that's preach and prophesy and do all those things, God said, no, I don't need you to do none of that. I need you to go to the Potter's house. So you heard me, so go down there so you can hear me.
Yeah.
Amen. So then Jeremiah, you know, obviously knew where the Potter's house is. And most of us know where God calling us to go.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know where He's been telling you, come away, come do this, I need you over here. Most of you know where God's sending you. Because Jeremiah didn't say, where is it at, Lord? He didn't have to put his GPS, he didn't have to get a map quest.
Right.
He didn't have to call somebody on the phone and get there. He knew just exactly where the Potter's house was. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So God said, there I will cause you to hear my word.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so God wants us to hear His words on another level,
mm-hmm.
in another place.
Because
there's a lot of things that we're going to have to deal with.
Yes.
It's only just begun.
Yes.
Somebody tell your neighbor, it's only just begun.
It's only just begun.
Yeah.
All right. He said, in Matthew, these are just the beginning of sorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at the homeless ring,
yeah.
when you're looking at people walking around, that were viable human beings. You're looking at people, I've never seen so much violence and murder and destruction everywhere. And there's really no love anywhere.
Amen.
And if it's not in the church, where are they going to get it from? Amen. So God has got to make us. He's got to shape us.
Oh, yes.
He's got to mold us.
Oh, yes.
He's got to bend us.
Yes.
And sometimes, unfortunately, He's got to break us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But He said, so the prophet was obedient. Then He said, then I went down to the potter's house. And see, there he observed what what the potter was making on the wheel.
Yes.
Amen? And he observed how. See, God didn't give up on the clay.
Mm-hmm. All right,
God didn't give up on acting. because he made him a new Adam.
Yes, yes.
Yes. He made him a new Adam.
Yes.
He made him an Adam that experienced the marring process. So he was marred more than any man. So he could handle the marring we were taking.
Amen.
He made him another vessel. And then he made this man of clay, but he came back through Mary, another clay vessel. He made him another vessel.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, are you with me?
All right.
Amen. So if he can make another vessel,
yes,
what can he make out of us?
All right.
Amen. And so you can be in the midst of people and things going on around you. Sometimes God has to take you from that place. We don't always want to go because we're so busy trying to do what we were doing.
Yes.
Tell he can't get us to that place where we can do what we need to be doing. So can I certify to you tonight that God's going to make you another vessel?
Amen.
He's going to make you another vessel. There's such a word in your belly. Such a word. Oh my God, such a word in your belly. There's such a word in your belly. And sometimes, and we get, I don't know where we get it from, but we get a little apprehensive. You know, we got the externals. We know how to kind of cover that. But there's such a word in your belly, such a release. And God is not comparing you to nobody. God's not worried about who on the left, who on the right, who on the top, who on the bottom. God has got such a word in your belly. There are women that need all that you've been through. And you know what? We can have the most glorious testimony of his goodness. But you know what? The best testimony of his goodness is the hell he brought you through.
Yes.
The thing that you encountered that you don't want nobody to know. But because of somebody sitting out there with that greater testimony, amen. Because see, they don't know why you know God is good.
Right.
But see, God's going to take your testimony. He's going to elevate it. He's going to take it. And I promise you, you ain't going to be, you said, Lord, I'm going to plan it on telling that. But sometimes you're going to be ministering. God's going to say, you know what? Break it down a little bit. You know what? People see you strong. People see you tough, but they don't see how I've broken you.
That's right.
In a place of jackals. They don't see how I've broken you in that place, how I've let you go through some things, how I've let people use you and mistreat you, and how I allow people to come and look and look like you just still just a happy little part. But God's going to let you release that.
Yes.
Because that's how he's going to get that lump out. That's how he's going to get that place out of you. Because that ministry is going to another level.
Amen.
It's going to another level. I hear you just, I mean, you're going to be like, what? Where did that come from? Why am I saying that? Because God is releasing you. He's making you. He's causing those things to move out your way so you can run. So you can do the things you envision. Because you've already seen yourself. You've already been to that place where you've seen it. Now you're going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise. You receive that. Amen. But he's healing you. He is healing you. He is healing you from some things that you have not been able to share. He's healing you. He's going to allow you. You'll find yourself just sitting and just weeping. But that weeping, all it isn't going to be is healing. Just stuff coming up. Stuff you thought, oh, man, I'm over that. And you just suppress it, put it in a little chest. And every now and then you just look at it and weep over it. But I see God bringing the healing power of God coming because there's such a dynamic release in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you receive that? Amen.
Praise
God is good. I mean, he's working. He's making us another vessel. Amen. And so God said, you know, they was asking Jeremiah, why is God doing this? And see, a lot of stuff we be asking, why is God doing this? Why is God letting the world be like this? And why is God? It's always why God.
Yeah.
Ain't never why us.
That's right.
Ain't never why us. Always, why God don't bless, why God don't heal, why God don't deliver, why God letting all this evil stuff happen in the world? Well, why are we doing all this evil stuff in the world? Why we don't bless? Why we always, you know, amen. And so then what was the message? Amen. The message that God was trying to get across in that day, and what is he trying to get across today? Amen. And we don't, you know, you have to resist the urge to only preach a smooth message.
That's right.
Because see, that potter's wheel one You know, he's smoothing out the rough edges. See, the clay wasn't smooth. And I imagine that being in anybody's hand in the potter, because when he got to apply that more pressure, and when you see how they do it, and I mean, you just work it down, then they take a tool and kind of groove out places. So when you're on that potter's wheel, you know, you can be a Coke bottle on the potter's wheel. But only because he made you one. And if he wants you to be a bowl, guess what? You're going to be a bowl. You know, you ain't going to look the way you want to look. You're not going to see Jesus was marred so much that nobody could recognize him. See, God want to get us to that place, hey, nobody can recognize you. Amen. They're not looking at your beauty and your comeliness. They're looking at him. They're looking at the vessel that God made. Amen. That's what they're looking at. They're not looking at you. They're looking at him. And so he was telling me, he said, you know what? God, he was asking God. And God said, this is why I'm doing this. He said, my people have forsaken me. It started out in Jeremiah 2. He said, you know what? My people have committed two evils.
That's right.
Jeremiah 2 and 13, he said, they've forsaken the fountains of living waters, and they've chosen them out. Broken cisterns that can hold the water. He started in Jeremiah 2. Now, you know how long the book of Jeremiah is. And he started on that tangent about my people have forsaken me. And he said, they're following, guess what? The dictates of their own heart.
That's right.
Of their own heart. They're following the dictates. Whatever my heart dictates, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever my heart desires, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I want. I heard the message of one of people got time and money for what they want. They're following the dictates of their own heart. And he said, guess what? And this is so weird. He said, no one listens to me.
Yes.
How can God make a claim that no one listens to him? No one listens to me. And then the next thing, they're trusting in me.
Yes, yes.
God has ceased to be undelivered. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking for some man, some woman, somebody, some way other than God.
Other than God.
And he said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He said, when we trust in man, that's a snare.
Yeah, it is.
That's a trap.
It is.
And so God is saying, you know what? Why are you on back on the Father's wheel? Because you done lost your way. I got to make you again. I got to fix you again. I got to straighten you out again. And you know what? Back then, they were doing that back then. We talking about now. They were doing that then.
Yeah.
But it don't look no different. It don't look no different today. Amen. So God has put a challenge out there. Can I not do with you? Amen. What the potter can do with the clay. Now that's a man making just a clay vessel. He is God who made us and created us, breathed the breath of life in us. We became a living soul, made in his image and likeness, but then he can't make us look like him. Amen. And so God is saying, I formed you in the belly, I knew you, but somehow, as I'm in the still forming process, I realize that there's been some marring. And I could just see Jesus by the time they got through with him. I could see how, can you just imagine Jesus by the time they got through beating him? Putting the thorns on him, spitting on him, plucking off his beard. And, you know, see, we get away from that.
Yes.
See, we don't want to look at that picture. Because if we look at that picture, if he took us, well, we really went in the house of God. And we saw that picture. And we would take note of it. See, we could hear better. But because we get away from the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders. And that the Lord, you know, he was stricken and smitten of God. I mean, he wasn't smitten by man. He was stricken and smitten of God. He was rejected for us. All these things that he did, we come into the house of God, we don't see that picture. We don't see the potter shaping. We don't see Jesus lifted up so people can be healed and people can be delivered. So God has got to make us another vessel. Because, you know, if you haven't had any marring, you haven't had any jarring, you haven't had any scarring.
Come on now.
So how can you be touched
by the feelings of somebody else's infirmity. How can God tell you to go by faith and lay hands on somebody that has cancer and expect them to be healed? How can he tell you that if you can't hear him? You hear him, but you don't hear him.
Right. Yes.
Amen? And so Jesus was marred more than any man, but God raised him to honor. Amen? And he wants to do the same for us. He wants to make us anew. I don't care how long we've been saved. You know, these days you need to wake up and say, God, make me new.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
I mean, yesterday I was tired of her. I looked at me, and I heard her. I was tired of her.
Yes.
You know, you ever get sick and tired of him and her?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, God, make me. Oh. That song, make me. And mold me, shape me.
That's right.
You know, and we have to submit to that shaping.
Yes.
We have to submit to it. Because if we slip, guess what? He's just going to apply more pressure. And he don't care how long you've been saved. He don't care how long you've been crying. He don't care how long you've been hurting. He don't care how long. He don't care if you holler out or scream or squeal and under that pressure. He just going to apply more to get that stiff neck, hard head, you know, discontent, malcontent, dissatisfied, don't have enough, can't get enough, won't do enough, spirit out of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because God owes us nothing. Let's turn to 2 Timothy real quick and I'm going to close.
All right.
That's something real. 2 Timothy. Let's go over here. Let's go over 2 Timothy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I have determined. I said, God, I preached Friday night. I said, shall I not drink of this cup my Father has given? I remember I was reading a book. We used to, Apostle Turner, when I was in Chicago, he said, he would have us reading books. And so I was reading Spiritual Authority and Liberated by Submission. He said, because he would come by and ask everybody what they read. He said, boy, you're a glutton for punishment. He's like, why in the heck are you going to read Spiritual Authority and Liberated by Submission at the same time?
Right.
He's like, you a glutton for punishment. But sometimes you need to run at your punishment. You need to run at the thing that's really got you going. Amen?
Yes.
And see, you know, when you don't know how to submit to authority, when you don't know how to submit in relationships, you know, submission is power.
Yes.
He said, submit yourself therefore unto God. You can resist the devil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize why the devil ain't gone nowhere, because you ain't learned how to submit nowhere. Not to God, not to your husband, wife, not to teachers, not to leaders, not to anybody. So the devil said right there.
Right.
Amen. Gone nowhere. Amen. Got a right to be there.
Yeah.
Amen. And a right there on you. Got a legitimate legal right to be there.
Yeah.
A legitimate right.
Right.
And you can't do nothing but submit. The sooner you submit, the sooner the devil will get. The sooner you submit. Amen. But most people like the devil's company. They use the devil. He's there too. The devil ain't doing nothing that we use the devil.
Yeah.
The devil is the people's tool.
Mm-hmm.
The devil made me do it. That devil is this and that devil is that. That devil ain't doing nothing.
Teach.
The devil ain't doing nothing. I keep telling people, they say, you know, the devil run in hell. The devil ain't running hell. When God throw him in the lake of fire, God, he ain't got no room in heaven. He ain't got no room in hell. The devil ain't ruling hell. He not doing nothing. He only doing what we allow him.
There you go. Right. There you go. That's right.
He only has access by a door, an open door or permission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now he will come in if you leave a door.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. He like those animals that don't have no vertebrae. All he needs is just a little place where he can link in. Just get on in.
Yeah.
And if you see him and you don't do nothing about him, guess what? He'll sit there and eat until he gets big enough where you can't get him out the door. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but maybe somebody needs to know that. Anything you don't submit to or for, you have no power to resist the devil, because you have no power to rule your spirit, because you don't have no power to bring it under subjection and say, I'll sit down when I'm told to sit down, and I stand up on the inside. Our people sit down here, but they're standing up here.
Yes.
So you ain't really sat down. You just standing up on the inside. And God see that.
God's not mocked. Whatever man sow, that he'll reap. God is not fooled. He's not mocked. He sees everything. Nothing's hidden. Amen. And so when we want to move forward, we want God to use us. But like every vessel, we got to be cleansed. Every vessel, we got to. I mean, how many of y'all use a plate and it get dirty? And y'all go back in there the next day and use the same plate without washing it. I mean, just tell me. No, don't tell me. I just won't come to your house. I just won't eat out of your place. I'll bring my own. Because we vessels.
Yeah.
And every time we use, guess what? We need to be
clean. Yeah.
You know, you dealing with dirty devils. You know, I put my hand out there in the dirt, I'm going to get dirt on you. See, the Old Testament has some rituals and laws. And, you know, they're not indicative. They were a pattern of things to come. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, he didn't want the priest near dead bodies, touching dead things or touching unclean things. Mm-hmm. He said, touch not the unclean things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Come out from among them. You know, so we don't realize that even in this dispensation, unclean still ain't cool with God.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to close. I'm going to close. Amen. So 2 Timothy 2:20. This is good. This is really good. Okay. And it says, but unto a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Amen. This is what he's trying to do, get us useful for him. And guess what? And prepared for every good work. Amen. We are not saved by works, but we are prepared for a good
place. Yes, right.
We're his workmanship created in him. I mean, he has the master craftsman. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at all these beautiful men and women of God. I look at the craft.
Mm.
Amen. And then look at what God has molded and shaped and made. And,
amen.
But every now and then, he got to fix the cracks.
Yes.
He got to fix the dings.
Yeah.
He got to, you know, if he can't fix them, he just going to make you over. It's not going to be pretty because he got to smash you and then go to, and then put you back on there. Amen. So when we're marred in his hands, sometimes we think it's the hands of men. You know, I mean, we really believe we give people about just as much power we give them. I mean, somebody in another state, somebody in another house, somebody in the grave, somebody somewhere else have more power over you. They got it. Somebody can speak a word that can alter your life forever, but the God who made you cannot speak a word to change your life forever.
Wow.
And how does that play out in life? That God who made you, who can bless you, can take you places no one can ever do, but he can't speak a word that can make a difference, but somebody else can speak something to you and do something to you, and you can't become. That's the most unexplainable thing I've ever seen. You're in the house of God. The word of God is good. The word of God is powerful and quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's there to divide the soul asunder, between the soul and the spirit, the bone and marrow. It's there to build the discerning intent of your heart. But yet, you know that God has healed you, fed you, delivered you. You're living a life you never thought you'd ever live on the earth.
Yes.
But yet, somebody can come sit next to you and take every bit of that thing away with a word.
Come on.
And they have more power. They can shape you and mold you more than God can.
Jesus.
And we get to the point we start to weaken and give in to it.
Mm-hmm.
We just start to let them shift us a little bit more and shape us a little bit more. He said, but can I not? So if they can, why can't I? If the potter can, why can't I? The potter's just a man.
Yes.
But God made the pot, made the man, made the clay, made. He made all that. But we can let a piece of clay, piece of dirt, piece of dust. He said, how do you fear a man that ain't made out of nothing but dust? He said, let me be your fear and your dread.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
But we are so afraid of man that God can't even make us the way he wants to. Well, my dad, if I do this, they ain't gonna understand. I said, so you'd rather be out of the will of God than to preach and do what he told you to do because you're worried about what man gonna think?
Yeah.
You better let God make you.
Yes.
You better let God shape you. You better let him make you a vessel of honor.
That's right.
But let him make you so you can be meek for his use.
That's right.
Amen. Because I tell you, this book of Jeremiah is so good.
Yes.
And it was just one scripture. This was not related to this, but he was saying in chapter 16, he said, you know what? He said, their names will be written in the earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to get your name out of heaven and then have it written in the earth? Mm-hmm. You know how serious it is to reject God, reject his counsel, reject what he's trying to do? I don't want nothing written in the earth.
Yes.
I want my name where it needs to be written.
That's right.
In heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So all I'm saying here tonight is God is making, just because you're there, I don't know what there is. I always thought, well, when you get there, it's here now. So I can't ever get there because every time I get there, it's here. So I don't know where you are. Now if you're there, let me know how you got there so I can get there and make sure it ain't here when I get there so I can still have to be looking for there.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you arrive and you fully complete and fully done, and God don't have to do any more to you, come see me. Because
yeah.
I'm going to follow you. I know you have ascended, and I'm ready. Amen. Because all of us, and I promise you, the longer you've been in this thing, it's not going to get easy.
Right.
It's not going to be easier.
Right.
If anything, do you think the closer Jesus got to that cross, it got easier?
No.
And when we got our cross, that cross ain't getting no lighter. We just got to get strong.
Yes.
We have got to get to the point. The longer you've been in this thing, that's when we need to be careful.
Yes.
Amen. Not because, see, when you're young, you do all kind of stuff. You fall, hit your head, God pick you up and poo-poo you. Mm-hmm. After a while, he'd be like, I'm going to hit you too. like, okay, that you should have saw coming.
Yes.
Amen. But God wants to shape us.
Amen.
He wants us to look at why. You know, there's always a side of us that we have questions about. But he wants us to look at why. Amen. But he wants us to yield and let him make us. None of us are where God wants us to be. Now, am I speaking presumptuously? Anybody here where God wants you to be totally? Know you've gotten there totally? But I hear God saying, can I, not whatever level, whatever station, whatever title, I hear the word that can I not do with you what I need to do? I'm going to give it a
praise.
It's time out for being defeated.
That's right.
It's time out for being defeated. Amen.
God,
a lot of churches represented here. A lot of people have gone through, a lot of ministries have suffered hurt at the hands of the enemy and people. And the thing is, we don't want to allow the enemy to run roughshod. God is making us in the midst of that marriage. I believe somebody threw a rock in the midst of that shaking. And it wasn't the stone you had. Somebody probably threw a rock in the middle of it. Amen. Amen. What is it called? That is a saying that you have to like do a wrench into God's plan. The devil or somebody threw a wrench. Amen. Right where he was most. If you look, I got to the good part. Just right there on the cusp. Right there at the good part. He's like, oh God, I was running. I was just there, Lord. And all of a sudden, boom. Amen. They got to, I got to make you over. Got to make you over. Got to make you over. Got to make you another vessel. Some of it's just the next level. It ain't even about what you did wrong. It might be a little stiff, but you don't know how to get there. But I believe God is encouraging. I want to encourage. This is not a message to bring condemnation. This is not a message, but to encourage them. I could just discern that everybody, I don't say anybody here not saved.
I don't want to assume, but what I'm discerning is everybody here knows God. Am I, could I be off? Anybody here not say? I just want to ask. I don't want to assume. Anybody not knowing God? Well, I just think that we, what do you call it? Call it the believer's convention. We're in the believer's convention. And so we're here to get built up and get encouraged and motivated to go on a little further. And then I just heard God saying, tell the people, open up. Open up and allow the Lord. Don't be the guy so that went through so much that you just say, you know what, God, I don't know if I want any more of this. Because I hear somebody about ready to say uncle to the devil. Don't do that. Just tell God, cleanse me.
Yes.
Use me.
Yes.
Make me.
Yes.
Come on, give me, just make me in your life. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. Right down the cusp. Amen. Devil ain't gonna throw no wrench. We got something for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God glory. Amen. Well, let's stand. Let's pray. Amen. And I'm like this. We God is, God uses us all differently. And sometimes we can just look at one person, see how God uses them, and we want to be that. But then the body's missing something. Don't ask God to make you somebody else. Sometimes we missing God because we want God to make us like somebody else. I love the way God uses different people. I can't sing. I sing now. But I can't sing. I said, God, please don't tell them to ask me to get up there and sing a song for a preach. They might never ask me to come back again. I know all the words. I can sing, but, you know, I ain't trying to take over nothing. I mean, people have such gifts of compassion and mercy. But then there are people who God has called, like a Smith Wigglesworth, that'll kick the cans out of you. You know, y'all might not like them kind of preachers, but that's how God molded him. That's how he made them. And I'm telling you, when God keeps hearing your voice, it's just booming. I don't know what that means, but it's just booming. She got a booming voice. Okay, I just hear her voice booming, but it's not intimidating. And what it is, it resonates, is that when it comes out, it's just going to go in the very fiber and shake the fiber. Because you're going to release, you're going to stop holding back. I'm not picking on you. But can I minister to you? Because I hear that voice booming, and I don't know if you're just holding back, or, you know, you're afraid you're over the top. I don't know what it is. What's wrong with that? Amen.
Glory to God.
of my life.
The potter.
salt of this earth that has been broken.
Oh God.
From the wind and the rain.
Yes, yes.
He saw with so much compassion.
Oh yes.
To put it together again.
Hallelujah.
Now was that broken vessel that no one thought would be to do? I cried, Lord, you are the heaven and I am the clay.
Oh God.
Take me over again.
Yeah! Hallelujah!
Song of that song that had been broken from the wind and the rain. To put it together again. Now I want that gold, the vessel. Today. Now Jesus picked up the pieces of my broken life, my broken life that he did. He made new vessel. Give me my soul again.
Whoa.
Now Jesus, he picked up the pieces of my broken life. My broken life that is. He made me a new vessel. He revived my soul again. The potter saw a vessel that had been broken from the wind and the rain. He saw with so much compassion to put it together again. Now I'm
bless you. First Lady. I see a law. I don't know why I don't say law. You know, people don't say law. You know, that ain't a word people use. But I see a law. I see a law. I just see God just crowning you with glory. I see God fortifying you, woman. I see God sending you help, sending you people with like mind and like spirit. I see God just sending you, surrounding you, but I see this law. I see it's a place of glory, it's a crown of thoughts. Amen. I just see comfort coming with it. And your prayers are not in vain. Amen. They're not in vain.
You enjoyed the word tonight. Amen. The word was rich. Amen. The ministry was rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Wardell. Amen. And your team and those who come with you, the minister with you to assist you. Amen. We certainly thank God for you. It's certainly been a pleasure. Amen. To have you here in the house of the Lord.